Gheorghe Ligeti's unconventional opera Le Grand Macabre got an unconventional treatment when the New York Philharmonic premiered it in May. The multimedia staging by Brooklyn's Giants Are Small production company made Le Grand Macabre among the events which made Time Out New York music critic Steve Smith's list of the year's best in classical music. Steve, what made the New York Philharmonic show so unique?
There were quite a lot of reasons, and I think first and foremost was that it sent an unmistakable signal to the New York Philharmonic audience and to New York in general that the orchestra was now going to be about forging ahead into contemporary music in a really thoughtful and engaging way. Doing opera in the first place isn't really the Philharmonic's territory, but Alan Gilbert, the music director, seized this opportunity to present a classic piece of contemporary music and to do it in a way that attracted a really, really big audience, a lot of buzz. They built a media event around it. It was really a way of the New York Philharmonic saying, here's what we're about now, and I think that it had a profound impact on a lot of different levels.
You also liked City Opera's revival of Leonard Bernstein's only full-length opera, A Quiet Place. What was so engaging about it for you?
Well, first off, it was sort of accepted knowledge that this was a failed piece, that Bernstein had reached too far, that it just didn't really come together very well. But George Steele, the new director at New York City Opera, really, really believed in this piece and felt it deserved another airing. And he hired a really good director. He brought in a lively conductor. And it was really through force of will that he put this piece on the stage and forced everybody to reassess it. A Quiet Place is not a spotless masterpiece, but it's a really, really provocative, fascinating piece. And it's a place where popular styles and very heady avant-garde styles come together in a way that's very reflective of who and what Leonard Bernstein was. So it was definitely a triumph both for the composer and for a company about which a lot of people have been asking questions. Who is City Opera and are they going to succeed? This was a pretty unambiguous yes.
What else made your list this year?
Well, for sheer spectacle, it was very, very hard to overlook the performance during Make Music New York at the citywide event with free music in June. And they staged a performance of a piece by the avant-garde composer Xenakis called Persephassa. They actually did this on Central Park Lake, where the audience members, most of them anyway, were actually on rowboats floating on the water. Some of the percussionists involved in the piece were also floating on the water. It was both a spectacle and kind of a musical masterstroke, and it was all presented free of charge under a glorious summer day.
There were also some moments that raised eyebrows this year. I'm thinking about the age discrimination lawsuit that former Cleveland Plain Dealer music critic Donald Rosenberg filed after he was pulled off the classical beat following some critical pieces he had written about the Cleveland Orchestra. He lost that lawsuit. Is there anything else that has troubled you in the classical music world this year?
Well, it was a difficult year on a lot of fronts, and certainly Don Rosenberg's case in Cleveland was something that every critic and journalist kept an eye on. The whole notion that you had to be careful what you said about your city's resident ensemble, I'm sure resonated with a lot of critics who had legitimate complaints but then had pushback from the ensemble or organization in question. And at the same time, you know, we have the Detroit Symphony Orchestra on strike, and just the general sense that there's a downturn in the job market, that the conservatories are turning out many, many brilliantly talented students, and yet there simply isn't enough work available for all of these players. And what do musicians do next? And the answer for many of them has actually been rather positive. You've seen an upturn in the number of really successful independent ensembles in this city, the International Contemporary Ensemble or the Chamber Orchestra of the Knights. There's a lot of really good buzz that's coming out of a lot of people turning lemons into lemonade, frankly.
What does 2011 look like to you so far?
I think it's going to be a really tremendously exciting year, and I can really only speak about the first half of the year because, of course, the latter half has not yet been revealed to us. But one of the big stories of 2010 was the way that contemporary classical music and adventurous pop music were growing together closer and closer all the time. And that's sort of the subject of a festival that's going to happen at Merkin Concert Hall starting January 17th. This is called the Ecstatic Music Festival. And it's a really, really fascinating mix of young classical composers and performers with sort of interesting and innovative pop artists, and some of them will even be interacting and playing one another's music. That kind of vitality, you see it going throughout the season. I'm personally excited about Nixon in China, the opera by John Adams, finally coming to the Metropolitan Opera on February 2nd, and then a couple of festivals worth watching in February. 8th Blackbird, the innovative chamber group, is doing a festival called Tune In, which is happening at the Park Avenue Armory. So there you've got both a great group and a really unique space that has yet to be tapped into. And Lincoln Center is doing another interesting festival in February called Tullyscope, which is a really eclectic mix of old and new music all taking place around Alice Tully Hall. I think those events are sort of the tip of the iceberg, but those are the things I've already got on my calendar.
Thanks for being with us, Steve.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Steve Smith is music critic for Time Out New York, and that's this week's Arts File Online. I'm Carrie Nolan.